Welcome to Torani Mecha Nach Yomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Rachel Besser, and today we'll be studying Yirmiyahu Perek Lamed, Chapter 30. In our previous chapter, Yirmiyahu wrote his seminal letter to Babylonia and outlined a new religious experience, one that does not involve the Beit HaMikdash, Korbanot, or the Land of Israel. Perek Lamed, Chapter 30, starts its own series of prekim, chapters that don't seem to fit in Sefer Yirmiyahu, and that is, because they are positive. They are prakim of nechama, of comfort. The placement of these prakim is not happenstance. The past three chapters discuss Yirmiyahu's role during Galut Yehoyachin, his interactions with the false prophets, with Tzidkiyahu, and with the Babylonian community, the new Jews of the diaspora. We've spoken of the concepts of tochacha and nechama in Tanakh, consolation and rebuke, and how they aren't what they seem. Tochacha, rebuke, on the outset, seems bad. Things are terrible, and that's why I'm screaming at you. Nechama, from the outside, consolation seems good. I'm giving you positivity. However, what we've spoken about, the idea that I heard from Rabbi Yitzchak Twersky, is that they are the opposite. Tochacha is given when things can change, and therefore the prophet needs to yell at people and give them harsh visions to get them to reach that change. Nechama, comfort, is given when the change is no longer possible, and now we need to chart a new way forward, and we need to heal. Galut Yehoyachin, Galut HaCharashma Masker, the artisan's exile, is the exile that Yirmiyahu never wanted to happen. The Beit HaMikdash is still standing, but Hashem's chariot and Shekhina has left Israel. The religion of Bnei Israel has to be shifted. It will never be the same. Yirmiyahu always hoped that the people of Judea would never get to a time like this, like Galut Yehoyachin, that there had to be such a fundamental change, that they couldn't do it anymore in Israel, that they had to lose the Beit HaMikdash in order to appreciate it. Yirmiyahu therefore follows his experiences of the time period of Galut Yehoyachin with the only nechama of the Sefer, the only comfort. Yirmiyahu must comfort the people at the time, but he also must comfort himself. He must remind the people and himself that there will be a redemption, that Hashem will never desert Bnei Israel, that the religion will not be the same, but it will survive, and it will thrive in a different way. As opposed to other prakim in Yirmiyahu, Yirmiyahu here is told in verse 2, Ko amar Hashem Elokei Yisrael Emor, so says Hashem, Ketov lecha et kol hadvarim asher dibarti elecha el sefer, write down these words in a book. Yirmiyahu's words are for the future. They're for the people that are coming later. They might not be able to be heard right now, but these words are directed to us and to the people who are living after the Chorban. People for generations to come will need to read this perek when things are dark and difficult. The words that we and they needed to hear are as follows in verse 3. Ki hine yamim ba'im, Ne'um Hashem. There will be days that will come, says Hashem. Vishafti et shvut ami Yisrael v'Yehuda, Amar Hashem. And I will return the captivity of my nation Yisrael and Yehuda, says Hashem. V'hashivotim el ha'aretz asher natati la'avotam v'yershuha. And I will return them to the land that I gave to their fathers, and they will inherit it. The beautiful and meaningful land of Israel was ripped away from the Jewish people at that time. But that is not the ideal state of being. The Jewish people belong in their home. And after this short corrective time, they will be back. Both Yehuda and Yisrael are mentioned, because this welcoming applies to both of them. All 12 tribes belong back in their home in Israel. And one day, they will be brought back. Notice again, like we had in chapter 3, the repetition of the Shoresh Shav, return, which comes up as Vishafti, I will bring you back, Shivut, from your captivity, and Hashivotim, you will return, both as return in terms of your tshuva, your repentance, and return, your physical return to the land. Yirmiyahu recognizes that the suffering that Bnei Israel has gone through has been significant. They have been terrorized, displaced, and have lost people that they love. But in the future, things will be different. Says Yirmiyahu, Hoy ki godol hayom Hahu Me'ain Kamohu. There's going to be a day that was awesome. It was huge. There's none like it. The Eight Sarahi Liakov. Umimena Yivashea. It was a terrible time for Yaakov, for all children of Yaakov, all 12 tribes. But he shall be delivered from it. And then he goes on, Vahaya Bayom Hahu Neum Hashem Sokot. On that day, Eshpor Ulo Me'al Tzavarecha Umosrotecha Anatek. On that day, I will break the yoke from your neck, and I will rip off your bonds. Lo Ya'avdubo Odzarim. Strangers shall no longer enslave you. Then he finishes, Va'avdu et Hashem Elokeichem, and you will serve your God, that David Malkam, and David your king, Asher Akim Lahem, that I will put up for you. Yirmiyahu goes back to his symbolic action, the yoke, that symbolized the prophecy of the time. Right now, says Yirmiyahu, you need to wear the yoke of Babylonia. Right now, the right thing for you to do is to accept your punishment and submit. Recognize Hashem's presence in your lives. But that is not what it will be like in the future. Hashem himself will break the yoke of Bnei Israel. Not in the way Hananiah ben Azor did it. Not in a way that ignores the reality and ignores Hashem's presence in their lives. But in a way of caring with truth. Because that time will come. Right now, they have to be ruled by Babylonia. But a time will come that they will have their own righteous kings. Descendants of David HaMelech, of King David. Yirmiyahu goes on now to address the trauma that Bnei Israel had been through. So he emphasizes how he will be with them and how they no longer need to be afraid. In verse 6, he tells them, Vata al tira avdi Yaakov, Nom Hashem. Don't be afraid, my servant Yaakov. And notice again how he uses the endearing term avdi, my servant, and Yaakov. Yaakov, the father of all 12 tribes. Va'al techat Yisrael. Don't be afraid, Yisrael. Ki hineni moshi'acha me'rachok. I'm going to save you from afar. Ve'tzarecha me'er shivyam. I'm going to find them wherever they are. I'll take your children out of their captivity. V'shav Yaakov, v'shikat, v'sha'anan, v'ein machrid. Yaakov will return. He will be calm. He will be peaceful. And he will no longer fear. Verse 11, Ki itcha ani ne'um Hashem lehoshiacha. I am with you to save you. Ki e'aseh kala b'chol agoyim asher hefitzicha sham. I am going to destroy all of those nations that I spread you out there. Ach otcha lo a'aseh kala. I will never completely destroy you. V'yisartich l'mishpat v'naka lo anakecha. I will give you Yisurim, I will punish you in justice, but I will not completely take revenge against you. The repeated phrases in these psukim focus on captivity and fear. It takes time to heal from these kinds of experiences. Yirmiyahu focuses on the feelings that Bnei Israel will feel and helps them move on from their feelings of fear in order to once again allow them to be calm. Earlier in Sefer Yirmiyahu, we saw Yirmiyahu take important phrases of redemption like Yad Chazakah, a strong hand, and Zroa Netuya, an outstretched arm, and use them against Bnei Israel. Here, he does the opposite. He takes the yoke, which was a symbol of their oppression and occupation, and now is a symbol of their redemption. He also takes the word Avdi, my servant. That was a very harsh word because it was used about Nebuchadnezzar. It was used about their enemy. Now it's used about them, Avdi Yaakov. He also takes the phrase, Ki itcha ani ne'um Hashem lehoshiacha. I am with you to save you. This was a phrase that was used in Perek Aleph, chapter 1, about Yirmiyahu himself. Hashem told him, as he anointed him leader, he said, I will be there to save you from the people in Bnei Israel that will fight against you. Remember, he made him into that iron fortress, into those fortified walls, a city that was going to be fought against. And he said, I will save you from them. Now, it's not Yirmiyahu that needs to be saved from the people who are fighting him, but the people of Bnei Israel who will be saved from Hashem. When we read that phrase in Perek Aleph, we realized that it was a very rich phrase. Being saved from something means that Hashem cares about you, but it also means that you're going to be hurt. There's something that's going to happen that's going to be traumatic for you. Yirmiyahu uses this phrase now about Bnei Israel, recognizing that they went through something very terrible. They went through trauma, and Hashem is now going to save them. This gives honor to what they went through. It validates it. You went through it. You were hurt. And I understand now, says Yirmiyahu, that you are fearful and that it will take time for you to deal with this troubling time that you've gone through. I will be here for you, says Hashem. Another really interesting point that comes out of these psukim is this new relationship with Hashem that Yirmiyahu is outlining, in which Bnei Israel are not perfect. Hashem says, I will chastise you in judgment. You will make mistakes, but it will be measured without completely annihilating you. This is because in this new society that he's envisioning, they are basically a just people. Their society is no longer corrupt at its core, and therefore they can make small improvements and change as is necessary. The new society that will be built will not be one that oppresses widows, orphans, and strangers only to get ahead, that picks on the weak in society on purpose, but one that makes mistakes from time to time, mistakes that they are willing to heal. And therefore, Hashem promises them that in the future, there will be a gift of healing. As he says in Pasuk 17, Ki a'ale arukalach umimakotayach erpa'echa, I will bring healing to you and cure you of your wounds. Their past, as he describes in Pasuk 14, was really completely rotten. Says Yirmiyahu, Kol ma'avayach sheichachuch otach lo yidrashu. All of your lovers, all those nations that you relied on for help, they've forgotten you. They don't seek you out anymore. Ki makat oyev hikitich. You were, I, Hashem, I struck you like the way an enemy would strike you. Umusar achzari. I was cruel to you. Al rov avoneich. It was because your sins were so great and so deep. Atzmuchatu tayich. Your sins were so strong. Hashem had no choice but to destroy them completely, without mercy, almost like an enemy, because their sins were so woven into the fabric of their society. Oppression and injustice were not an aberration. It was the norm. It was impossible to change the society when the leaders were preaching corruption. It was impossible for the nation to thrive when Yirmiyahu wandered around Jerusalem in chapter 5 and could not find one person who served Hashem. When Yirmiyahu gives them a chance to be in charge of their destiny in chapter 18 at the potter's house, and their response is, no ash, we can't. We are just going to do what we've always been doing. We have to follow what we've always followed. We won't change anything. We can't. What we do is what we do, and that is how we are. This is how our society runs. So stop talking to us. Stop telling us that we have a responsibility. Stop telling us that we have power to change. That society needed to be torn down. But in the future, mistakes don't have to carry the weight of an entire society. They can be changed. Hashem promises this new community the wonderful future of stability, a city that's built up, the fortresses placed where they're supposed to be, one where in verse 21 it says, Haya adiro mimenu umishalom mikirbo yetzei, one where the rulership comes from amongst the people, not a foreign leader who tosses the country around, milking it for its resources, or moving the community even to a foreign land, but independence, ruled by one of their own. Unlike the description of Yerushalayim in the past that lost the voice of happiness and joy, this new society is described in verse 19 as full of it. V'yitzamehem toda v'kol mesachakim. The voice here that comes out is one of thanksgiving and the voice of joy. V'hibitim, and I will make you abundant. V'lo yim'atu, and you won't minimize. V'echbadetim v'lo yitzaru, you will be honored and you won't be pained. The joy of the people here is not reckless abandon or a joy of drunkenness. It is a joy that comes from thanksgiving, from recognizing the good that Hashem has done for them. It comes from seeing what they were in the past and what they are now. It doesn't erase the pain, but it includes the pain in a new narrative, one which they have rebuilt themselves. This pasuk makes me think of the journey that Israeli high school students take in 12th grade to visit the concentration camps in Poland. They wander from torture site to torture site, seeped in the pain of our people, reflecting on the pain of Jewish history, which has included so many wounds and so much hurt. And then they bring that back to Israel with them and dance at the Kotel and kiss the ground and see that the land that they are in, the land that they are going to go and defend, encompasses this history. The pain of Jewish history is not erased by the creation of the State of Israel. Rather, it is enfolded by it. We read this parak of consolation, one that Yirmiyahu wrote down in a book so that it can be read in the future. And we can only wish for this time that it will be this year that this parak comes to fruition in our own lives. Thank you for studying together. Le'iloi Nishmat Malka Esther Bat Zvi Yosef.